Amen. Great. We've been talking a lot about being in the wilderness and coming out of that. As you remember, the Israelites walked out of the wilderness, walked out of Egypt, and took them 40 years, a journey of 2 weeks. And they were stuck in that setup of not hearing God because of different reasons. One, they complained a lot. They hardly could tune into what God was saying. Two, for every challenge they faced was a reason to look back to Egypt, where they came from. And they felt like, oh my goodness, we had a good time over there. We need to go back over there. So every moment they had any challenge, they almost wanted just to go back. And at some point, God had it with them and said, you know what? We're not doing this anymore. We're going to have to walk with a different generation. Having said that, we got to a point where last week, John talked a little bit about that and how did that happen and the need for us to keep changing and growing. So today I want to dive into that aspect of us hearing God and moving forward. So what happens when we start hearing God? One of the things that happens to any soul that begins to hear God is to begin to feel peace. Peace comes upon them. They are no longer rattled by the circumstances that surround them. They know that God is in control. Another thing that happens when you hear God is you start having faith. You're no longer overcome and overwhelmed by life as it plays out in your day-to-day basis. And you begin to see what God is saying. And ultimately, you stop to question and stop to submit to God. You stop to argue and you start to listen to God. These are unsaid realities for many of us, that sometimes we are questioning, arguing, and complaining with God and not hearing what God is saying. And having said that, it affects every aspect of your life, whether it's at work, at home, friends, on the road, in the malls, it touches everything. You're not a happy person. Your predisposition becomes quite unhappy as a person, and you wonder what happened to God. You're not hearing God. Another thing happens when you start hearing God. Scriptures are no longer familiar. They're new, even though you've read them before. They have a new meaning. They speak to your heart. They bring about a sense of renewal in your soul. So you may have read that Bible for the last 50 years, 100 years, but you feel a sense of renewal. Why? Because now you're hearing God. It's no longer one of those, what I call, it's no longer a radio talk. You know the way you can turn on the radio and it's just going on and you're not paying attention and it's all that, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, what were they talking about? It's not a radio talk. It becomes a communication that happens. So let's talk through that today. What happens when you start hearing God? We trust in God and move forward. When you start hearing God, we begin to trust Him, but we also start moving forward. So early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelites officers went through the camp, giving this instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carry the Ark of the Covenant and of the Lord your God, move out from your position and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. God was very specific about how He was going to get them to the promised land. So it says, early the next morning, remember we had finished by saying, that when He told them we're going to do it, they were saying, let us do what you say we will do. So Joshua gets them to get ready. And then the next 3 days later, the officers go through everyone and tell them, we're going to leave. But verse 4 says, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. You may have been in wilderness, and God is saying, I'm going to take you out, but you've never come this way before. You've been stuck in that place for too long, but you've never come this way before. I will take you out from this position. And it says, stay about half a mile behind them. It's not always clear. That's the distance you're keeping. Keep a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. They had to trust God with every instruction he gave. When that doesn't happen, we don't move forward. Fear takes us sideways. We are afraid to commit to God because we're not trusting God's instructions. Now, God is saying, okay, we're going to get to the promised land, but take these instructions. They're not in control. They've never been this way before. But come, follow, and you'll see what happens. That takes trust. You see, if you've not been hearing God, God is saying to you this morning, you need to trust me. You need to stop sideways operation and come and follow me, and I will lead you to this place you've never been before. The reason we're stuck in the same place is because we're doing the same things. The same things, the same attitude, the same mindset, the same mentality. We're stuck there. We've got to start coming to God and says, I will be led to a place I've not been before. And they do that. They say, we're going to follow you. So the question is today, what will you do? Will you leave this place with fear or with trust? That's the decision you have to make today. As I speak to you, it's a decision of saying, I will trust God. The action follows after the decision. We wait for too long and say, well, let's see what God does. That is what the Israelites did in the wilderness. Now we're done with the wilderness. We're coming out of it. We have to make that decision of, I will trust God. And that means I'll hear him today and I'll begin to walk with him today. Too many people wait for the opportune time. It is today. That's the opportune time. It's not when everything has worked out. It's when you decide, I'll trust God. Trusting God does not depend on circumstances. It just depends on who God is. And so when he said, you'll follow and you come out with me, follow these instructions, they did trust that. Amen? Next, faith becomes our currency for life. See, everybody has a currency. You know, our American currency is the dollar, the greenback. Everybody likes that money around the world. If we increase our rates here in America, the whole world is hit. The value of other currencies struggles as well. Does that make sense? And if you don't understand currency, you may be having a currency of fear, and that's what you live on. You're not led by God. Or you may have a currency of faith, and that's an awesome place to be. But let's see. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. At some point, you have to ready yourself for God. You have to consecrate, repent, and say, God, I'm ready to walk with you. In other words, you cannot just continue business as usual. At some point, it says, I'm turning around. I need to let go of stuff. It can be anger, laziness, unbelief. You've got to let go of that stuff. Consecrate yourself. In the morning, Joshua said to the priest, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I'll begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. Whenever you reach the banks of Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. You have to remember, this had happened before going to the Red Sea, right? They tried to cross that, and they complained before God walked in that situation. Does that make sense? This time, nobody's asking any questions. They're like, okay, do what you're told to do. You come to the river, they'll cross. Here and now, you will do what God is asking you to do. Many of us read and say, I'll do it tomorrow. It never works tomorrow. We hear messages here today and say, you know, I'll go home and think about it. No, here and now you got to make the decision to be faithful. You see, the idea that I will make that decision tomorrow, it doesn't work. You've got to decide, now I'm ready to be right with God. Now I'm ready to be faithful with God. You see, what's your currency? Is your currency faith or is your currency postponing things for tomorrow? We like to postpone. That can be our currency. That's all we do. Next day, we'll do it whenever God decides it. Right. You know, we just postpone stuff and nothing ever changes. God is putting something on your heart. Say, you need to do this. Well, we'll get to it when we get to it. You need to get decisive and say, you know what? Here and now, we're going to cross this river now. They have to come in with the ark. here and now will happen. But that takes faith. You know, you have that clip there. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11 verse 1 to 2. It's being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is not being sure, then we move. It doesn't work like that. It's that we hope for. We're not sure about, but we hope for it. And we're certain that God will come about. How? We don't know. How? We do not know. That is why it's faith. What is your currency? Many of us have let history become your currency. As in, it didn't work last year. I don't see how it'll work this year. So that become your currency. December is here now, and we maybe even start because, oh man, I had set up to do X, Y, Z, and December is here, and I don't know what to do. And so you struggle a lot with the idea of just, I plan to do so much, December is coming to an end, and it didn't all come to fulfillment. How do you know if you're halfway the journey, or how do you know if you're just 2 miles in? Stick with me. Don't worry about what's going on. He's having a... Pay attention with me. I see you guys are trying to... Don't worry about that situation. We're okay. He's parenting that situation. All right, so let him parent that, and we keep having a conversation over here. Amen? So you got to have faith. You've got to have faith about what God is going to do. And many of us have that challenge as the year comes to an end. We can really look back with a lot of regret and not realize that maybe you walked into 2 miles in, maybe you walked in a mile, and God is still at work. So because of how we view life, a year can become a finality in your life, a fatality. It's just a year. You have to remember that we have to come up with ways of measuring things. It doesn't mean that that's the end of the world if it didn't happen in 2018. Now, let's say God calls us and we go to heaven. We just had a very good class on heaven. Then we can go to a place where time does not matter. Does that make sense? But that being the situation, then we must have faith. What is your currency? For some of us, our currency is doubt. We lack conviction, drive, inspiration. That's your currency. Your emotional currency is very much a doubt thing. So everything is doubt, doubt, double check. You're going to Google the whole thing so many times before you finally believe. See, I grew up when we didn't have to Google. You said it and that was it and we just came along, man. That was a story. If you say you'll be there at 10, we'll be there at 10. We don't have to Google it. You said it's that way, we're just coming that way. Now we've lost faith. We just have to double check and double check. And we come because we've double checked. We don't come because we have faith. In other words, we have a substitute of who God is. Our currency has been moved. We're very subtly relying on machines and other things and not God. I mean, let's be honest. Some of us cannot even remember your wife's number without looking up the phone or your husband's number. That's not a guilt trip, just to tell you how we've moved away. Some of us cannot remember our friend's number without looking at the phone. I mean, what? Even your own number. What's your number? Wait a minute. Let me check the phone. We've moved. Even your own number. You can't figure out. That's how far we've moved. We need to be reminded how faith functions. It's so personal. And it has to be true to you. Then you connect to that fact. So what's your currency? What's your currency? For some of us, our currency is just how life is not working. There's no hope. There's no vision. Our currency is life is not working. And so at every point, we arrive with a currency of not working. And that's a dangerous place to be. So you cannot get anything that God is saying because you can't hear him because your currency is off. You need to come back to the Word of God, hear his voice, and then start operating, get the currency. But the issue is, the decision is here and now. It's not tomorrow. It's here and now. You have to decide to be faithful. Amen? Your life takes the shape of God's will when you start hearing him. Your life takes the shape of God's will. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Havizites. Wow, those are many names with the heights. And I'll go straight to 11. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of the water will be cut off upstream and the river will stand up like a wall. They've been here before. The generation before was in this kind of situation. Does that make sense? But I want you to understand, he's not telling them what will happen. Beyond that, he just said, do the following. I'll get out, go fight. I'll give you victory above all these tribes. Follow the ark. That was the word of God in those days. The ark was the word of God. They had to stay with the word of God, which belongs to the Lord. Your whole earth will lead across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel. You see, God will make a way even when the rivers are there. God will make a way even when the rivers are there. But you have to start with the word of God. It is the men carrying the word of God that stepped into the river. Then the river stopped upstream and it flew up and then they walked through. You have to start with God, but God will get you through the rivers. See, God's will is to shape you in his own ways so that you can fulfill his purpose. But I've said it many times, he will not force it on you. That is something you have to be willing to. Here's a question. What are your rivers that you're not crossing? What rivers are you not crossing? In other words, what excuses are you telling yourself as to why you cannot repent? As to why you cannot be what you need to be? God will shape your life if you start to obey and just walk forward. I mean, some of us have rivers in our marriages. You need to make that decision, like I said earlier, that it'll happen. Then start obeying and you cross the river. Amen. And some of us have rivers just about being a Christian. Is it a cool thing to be a Christian? No, you're called by God. It's not about being cool. It's about being godly. Amen. Cool is the world way of trying to define Christianity or buy it. No, we are supposed to be godly. Let the world figure out that, whether it's cool or not. But once they know what it is, they will love God. Does that make sense? What river are you not crossing? For some of us, it's the river of just being content. Around this time, I'm telling you, you can get very discontented. You can be discontented with your house, with your carpet, with everything that you see around you. Because all kind of gifts are being advertised on TV. And everything looks old around you. No! Don't spend money you don't have. That's a river you need to cross and say, you know what, I'll be happy in December. I don't have all those goodies, but I'm happy. And I'll be happy to talk to people, and I'll just have a great time, amen? And don't go around telling people, you know, I accept gifts, and I'm looking to be bought this gift. No, just trust God. Got to work it out. Does that make sense? What is your river? What's the river that you need to cross? For some of us, we need to forgive. That's the river we have. We need to just forgive. But God will only shape you when you start following his word and letting him shape your life. You need to forgive. Yeah, you need to say, I cancel debt for this person. I will not hold it against them. Now, I know that that's the first step of forgiveness. And I know that you may feel a bit of a sting when you see them. But make a decision to forgive them anyway and start the journey today. And then the other stuff will come step by step. Does that make sense? The battle of forgiveness will be in and out of it. The days you feel weird about that stuff, but you got to get in the Word and talk through it and come to a place of forgiveness. Does that make sense? Yeah, maybe you have people that you need to tell them. You need to tell them about God. And that's your river. You got to cross and say, let me tell you about God. And just get there and tell them that this is what God has done for me, and I think he can do the same thing for you. But God will only shape you when you submit to his word. So it's possible that this morning you're not being shaped by God because you stopped listening. You come, you hear the word of God, but you don't internalize it. So it doesn't shape you anymore. It's something that you see around and you agree with. But whether it shapes you, that's another question. It shapes your home is another question. It shapes your mind is another question. It shapes how you feel. It's another question. We need to let God shape us so that God's will is done. Amen? All right. Let's keep moving here with the shields here. God becomes your shield in all circumstances. I know we've seen this many times. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and priests and were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing with banks, overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above the point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zenarthan. And the water below the point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Some questions that I want you to think about. It says this was happening at distances. And they're right there. And what God is saying is that if I'm going to give you this, here's an example of what I can do. If I can get you across this river and I'm blocking the water, I'm your shield, I'm going to get you to go fight those people. In other words, just their simple obedience. The Bible says once the priest put their legs on the river, it started working. That simple obedience of, okay, I will do as you say. The river parted the way and he was shielding them and they walked across. Simple obedience of just walk the path. Just put your leg in there. That simple obedience changed everything. It's not complicated. It's as simple as obeying God and he provides the shield. It's that simple. It's so simple that sometimes you think, what is he talking about? It's that simple. Just believe and do what he says. I believe the 21st century problems are based in the complicating of things. Everything is so complicated. We just don't know simple life anymore. How to just simply say, if you say it, it'll be so. I mean, we have passwords on our phone, passwords on our emails, so many passwords. Some of us forget them. You have to save them with something. Things are not simple anyway. But God is saying, just put your leg in there. It'll happen. I have a question for you. When is the last time you just said, I'll do what God says? No questions asked. When is the last time you said that? That from this day forward, I'll just do what God says. I'm not testing. Whether it goes right or wrong, I will do what God says. That I'm actually throwing all cautions out of the window here, and I'm just going to trust God. You know, it's very challenging. It's very challenging because we're used to controlling it. We control everything. It may sound simple, but it's very challenging because we control everything. We're very controlling as a people. That's just who we are. Our nature is we want to control everything. If I went over by 30 minutes, I'm sure some of you will be edgy. What's going on over here? Because now you're not in control. I'm just doing my own thing here. I plan to speak until midnight today. And see if some of you, I'll be alone by the time midnight hits here. Talking to the seats alone. They all left. No, I don't intend to do that. But my point is, because we will not simply obey, put your leg in the river and I'll provide the shield. We're not protected by God. In other words, somehow we've moved away from the protection of God because we don't obey him. So my point being that if we just change that simple thing, that I'll obey God and I'll question, yes, I'll have some challenges in my life, but I will obey God. That is transformative. Now, remember, I said that obedience is not just stopping sins. There's also a growth in character. There's a growth in character. So obedience is not that I have stopped this, I have stopped that, but how are you growing as a person? It's not just that you stopped sinning, but how are you growing? How are you becoming? How are you letting the Spirit lead you in that? Does that make sense? That simple aspect of life will transform your life totally. Meanwhile, the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Lord Covenant stood in the dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan to dry ground. Joshua chapter 4 begins and says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up to a place where you will camp tonight. Are you kidding me? How does that make sense from our generation? It might not make sense, but he wants them to remember what he had done. He wants them to remember what God had done. So I'm going to have your carry stones from this place so that when you tell that story, nobody thinks it was a fake story. It was a real story. That they crossed the river and he got them to take the stones and take it over there. So you see, God will protect you, but he also wants you to remember. Let me ask you another question. How much do you remember what God has done in your life? If we were doing an account of faith in your balance sheet, would you be in the red or in the black with remembering what God has done for you? Would we need a Black Friday so that we can bring you back to the black side of understanding the things that God has done in your life? Honestly, if you think about your life, what comes up? Many bad things or many good things? Now, I'll tell you this. You may have had a year that was difficult. But if you take time to see how God carried you through that difficult year, you'll appreciate that God saw you through. I'll tell you something else. It may not be everything you want it to be, but God has taken you through anyway. You know, at your worst time, God is carrying you and you don't even realize it because you're so fixated on the pain. But he's carrying you at that time. You're still coming on to God and figuring out what it'll work out like. And for some of us, we've had a tremendous year. Praise God for that. Amen? But even then, I hope you didn't say that that was you doing it. It was God according you that opportunity. Does that make sense? So God is your shield in good times and in bad times. Now for some of us, you've gone neutral. In other words, you don't want to claim anything. You're afraid to put any hopes up because life has been too challenging. So you don't want to try anything. In other words, you're doubting. You don't believe at all. I ask you to start believing again. Start believing again. And see that God will take you through. You see, if you judge your life to be such a misery in 1 year, 2018, I don't know what age you are, but let's assume that you will leave without thinking. Let's assume that you leave for the next 40 years. Do you want to say that you give up on life because of 2018? You have 39 years to leave. Are you going to give up because of 2018? Think about that and bring your faith together. We start sharing with our children what God has done. So Joshua called together the 12 men. He had chosen one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go to the middle of the Jordan in the front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it on your shoulders. These are the men that were carrying the ark earlier. 12 stones in all, one for each 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial in the future. Your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the ark of the Lord, the Lord's covenant, went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. You may not have children, but God will bless you someday with that. If you don't internalize your faith, you can't tell them what God has done. I'll say that again. If you don't internalize your faith, you cannot tell them what God has done. I remember visiting my grandmother, and she would be telling me stories about God. And as she was cooking and ordering all that stuff, she would be telling what God had done, and all the other things that she would just be saying to me about how God took care of my father, took care of in those days when there was no hospital and this was not going on, and how God did all that. And she would tell me that story quite vividly. And sometimes I'd wonder, is that true? But in hindsight, it really helped me. In hindsight, now that a moment or two, I look in those stories, I'm like, oh man, those stories really helped. And when my grandmother would start praying before we left for a journey, and she would just pray about everything. As a small child, for me, that was like 30 minutes. I think it was maybe 5-7 minutes. I don't know. But she was so detailed in what she was praying about. And you could sense that she knew God. And she talked about God on a very personal level. And so she was passing that on me without ever telling me anything. And so it's important for you to ask yourself, are you able to talk about God in that sense, even if you don't have children, to other people in that sense? That God has done this for me. But that happens because we're so preoccupied with the speed of living that we don't take time to just say, thank you, Lord, for being alive today. You know, the other day I was watching this famous Hamilton. He's a Formula One driver. And he's doing a tremendous job just winning races. And he was in Monaco. And they said, okay, let's take you on the same road you drive on, 200 miles an hour. Did you notice this? He says, I didn't notice that. They were driving so slowly. He says, I've never seen it this beautiful. Because when he's in the racing car, that's 200 miles, turning in a corner, 200 miles. It's flying away. He sees nothing. Now they're driving so slowly. He's saying the beautiful city is amazing. Like, wow, I've never seen this stuff. Is it possible that that's your life? You're going to jump out of here as soon as we say the last song and then get in the car and get home. Do whatever you do. Get into bed and get out and go to office and get out of office and get back home. And make a cook and make something. Sit down, watch TV, get to bed and work out. Even the pace at which we do it, we're almost harassed. You know, sometimes I'm just taking a breeze in the mall. And I'm like, why is everybody? Just take a breeze. What's the deal? How you doing, man? Well, I'm in a hurry.
Oh, wow. Talk about it. Amen. Amen.
We have no time. You create that life. Right. You've created that life.
Right.
There are days I just not rushing. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to drive on the right and stay slow in that direction. If you want to go fast, keep going. Keep going. I need to see the trees. I need to see the place a little bit. We've become victims of where we live and have nothing to pass on, because people that are rushed are empty. Rushed people are empty. But if you can take time to calm down, absorb God, meditate, have a good relationship with God, you begin to experience life like never before. Many of us are really empty because we are rushed. Rushed to sleep, rushed to wake up, rushed to brush teeth, rushed for everything. I'm talking about minute things that we need to take time to connect. That is what we're being told. Take the stones and let the children know. He doesn't tell them when they'll become, whether they'll believe or not. That's on them and God. As we tell the stories, it's on them and God to figure that other side. And some of us beat ourselves down too much when the kids don't become disciples. No, that's on them with God. But we've got to tell the story. Leave it at that. Tell the story and leave it at that. Amen? Let me finish. Well, we've got to finish now. We experience harmony when we walk together. So the men did as Joshua had commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, one of each tribe, just as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them to a place where they camped for night and constructed the memorial there. Joshua also set up another pile of 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they were there. They are there to this day. The point being, you walk with harmony and with each other when you trust God. God bless you.